And Cam is making us a new one. I think he is. It's not quite here, but I'm going to choose to stand down here as well still because there's no one right in front of me, so. Wow, what a week. History in the making. Right on our doorstep. Across the nations. And so as a result, I have chosen to change from my series of identity of the true believer in Christ. And Janie, that was a great one to pitch off if that's where I would have gone. And Susan, excellent, thank you. And worship team was awesome. And just again, the theme of the Spirit of God this morning is amazing. It's not, and by the way, we don't connect with one another to see who's doing what. But God has an amazing way of weaving things in. So I'm going to interrupt the series of identity of the true believer with a message that focuses on what is going on in our nation right now. And my title, I'm going to be reading in a minute out of Zechariah chapter 4. And my title is, By My Spirit, Says the Lord of Hosts. Now I'm going to presume many of you are staying informed of what's going on out there. It's really hard to escape. Now it depends on your media source as to what you're hearing or picking up, and maybe you check a whole bunch of them. And a number of you have been attending at the Coots border crossing. It's actually not quite Coots, it's Milk River. A lot of reports coming back from there. And you're praying. We are praying as believers. We understand that to change the physical atmosphere, to change the physical, we got to tackle and take down and establish in the spiritual. So a fair question. Should the church be involved in this way? You know what the answer really is? Depends who you ask. Right? I know I've been in Lethbridge long enough to know that every church does not see it the same way. What does God think of this is another important question. So in Coots, you know, it could be called a righteous rebellion. I know right now the border is open and there's traffic going through, but for a number of days it was totally closed. You know, it was a rebellion. Was it a righteous rebellion? And does God permit that? What does he think of that? Some would say absolutely, and others would say, no, we don't go there. Ottawa, should the church support the convoys? Well, it's peaceful, so yes. What if it wasn't peaceful? Would we support the convoys? Right? This is real. This is real. Now, I would say this. Beware of your news source. Yesterday, I was briefly in a store, and it... No, I don't wear masks. And this lady says, nice to see a smiling face. And I turned around, and her face was totally uncovered. She was from Calgary. And one comment just came to mind. I said, I wish the mainstream media could be shut down for 1 week and just the other real sources could be out there. I believe it would have a different message out there. But even when, you know, whatever your news source is, this is still key. Guard your heart. Amen. Because we can look at it and say, rah, rah, this is going finally our way. And have an improper posture towards it. We can look at this and say, yes, you know, go for it. And we get worked up in the soul. And God can't bless something like that. So wherever their church has failed to speak out into any culture issue and step back, the church has become irrelevant. And we've done a lot of that. More than 100 years. The church has stepped back to one degree or another. And wherever we've stepped back, someone else has stepped in. And they've taken over. We here at Free Grace, we embrace the kingdom of God is for now. And if it is for now, then there is no place you can escape in the culture where the kingdom of God does not have something to say. And if no one is there to say what the kingdom of God says and display what the kingdom of God displays, somebody else will. And it does not bring life. It does not bring blessing. The kingdom of God, which is here and now, compels and obligates us to do our part. So let's read Zechariah chapter 4, the whole chapter. And then I'll give a bit of context of how we get into chapter 4. Zechariah 4, verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was waking out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." Then I answered and said to him, "What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at his left?" And I further answered and said to him, "What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth." Let's look at the context. The prophet Zechariah began to be a prophetic voice during the days when the Jews had been sent back to rebuild the temple, about 520 BC. King Cyrus had released an edict 18 years before in 538 BC. He had given instructions to the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. So 16, 17 years had passed when the instruction, the edict went forth. And the foundation had been laid of this new temple, of the second temple, and it had stopped for 16 or 17 years. Opposition from the outside, discouragement from within, caused the Jews to abandon the project these years. So when Zechariah and his contemporary, which is Haggai, came on the scene in 20 BC, there was additional opposition from Tatnai, who was the Persian governor in that area, which included the nation of Palestine. The territory he ruled included Palestine. But Darius I reissued a decree, get building, get that temple restored. And so these prophets were the mouthpiece of God, and then in the next 4 years, they set to the task, and the temple got rebuilt. In chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Lord says he's responding with mercy, and he is again choosing Jerusalem. Thank God he is responding in mercy, and he is again or still looking down upon the nations. Chapter 2, God promises to dwell in their midst, and he was intending to give, listen to this, more prosperity and increase than could be contained within the walls of the city. More prosperity and increase that could be contained within the walls of Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't immediately, but think about this. We know this one. What is the center of history? Jesus Christ. What is the center of the message of Christianity? The cross. Where did it take place? Just outside the walls of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was too small to contain the message that would surpass all time, all generations, all cultures, all sin. The prophetic word was that God was intended to give more prosperity and increase than could be contained within the walls of this city. The temple and all its worship pointed to the coming Messiah, and Jesus offered himself willingly as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. The crucifixion, the death, the resurrection of Jesus was impossible to contain in Jerusalem. Impossible to limit to the Jews. Impossible to limit it to the Roman era. For all time, for all places. The point in history from which everything pointed to and everything flows from is the cross of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of familiar faces in this place for me anyway. But there's also unfamiliar ones. So I can say I know most of you. I don't know all of you. And if you're here as a believer, hallelujah, we're free. But if you're not, God says to us this morning, if you have not yet found a place to dump your sin, bring to the feet of Jesus. He says to you this morning, there is no reason you need to wait till tomorrow or till life gets you really, really bad again. Today is the day of salvation. There is no sin too big. There is no life too miserable. There's no period in your life that is too dark. No matter what your addiction, no matter what your problem, no matter where you have been or what you see in life, I want to give a message of hope this morning. God's mercy is greater than Israel could contain. God's mercy is for you. And the simple response is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Kids understand it. We've had testimony up here. Little children. They said, Jesus, come live in my heart. I need you. Now, we can understand a little child that they're quite innocent. Well, of course, makes no difference. No matter who you are, no matter how hard your heart is, the love of God can penetrate that. And His mercy extends here today. The cross of Jesus Christ, imagine that right outside of Jerusalem, is the center of all time and location in the world. And that brings us to Zechariah chapter 4. So here, God's word comes to Zechariah. There's eight visions the prophet receives that we know of that are recorded in the book of Zechariah. And God's word to Zechariah for the leaders and the people is to stir them up. You think the church needs stirring up? You think God's people sometimes need stirring up? And how does He do that? With a fresh word from the Lord, bringing life to a passage, for a prophetic word, a vision, a word of encouragement, a testimony. The church needs stirring up just like we all do. So Zerubbabel had laid the foundation of the temple, and it would be easy, really, be easy to be discouraged with the limit of progress. Imagine walking through Jerusalem, seeing this temple foundation rebuilt, being idle for 16, 17, you know, it's another place where weeds would grow. Nothing been done. Easy to get discouraged. But God promises His protection. And what He does, He provides a prophet with another vision, and then it says that the Lord's words came to him. And for those of you, just as a side note, if you're struggling with how does God speak today, well, it says here the Lord's words came to him. It doesn't say the Lord's words were spoken to him. They came to him. How would they come to him? The same way it may come to you today. A thought, an impression, it could be a dream. God spoke through dreams all the time to His prophets. Vision. It came to him. You say, well, I don't hear God's voice speaking. Well, what if it comes to you? This is my simple claim. He speaks to you all the time. You just don't always discern it's Him. Came to him. In the verse 9, what we read here, it says this, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands also shall finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? When you see the temple completed, you will know it was God's word. He will protect you. He will help you. The word came to him. And here's a vision. Zerubbabel laid a foundation. He will also complete it, though it was a total of 21 years or something before it was done. And this little phrase that we often quote, don't despise the day of small things. Now, we could say, based upon what's happened in the last 7 days or 14 days or a while, you know, those aren't small things. True? However, I believe it's still small in comparison to what is to come. Based upon that, God's mercy will go far beyond the walls of Jerusalem and far beyond that generation and far beyond what we think God is going to do for Canada. There's been significant things. An opposition leader has been replaced. There's attempts to get our premier out because he's not been faithful to what he said he would do. A convoy from coast to coast. But the world is watching. All kinds of things. Do not despise the day of small things. So how many great works of God have begun very small? Probably all of them. Probably all of them. You got any of those in your life? You know, it seems so insignificant. Why would you breathe some life into that? Why would God use this going on here? You know, the simple conversation you had. You got any testimony? Any testimony of those where somebody said something and it just bugged you and bugged you and bugged you? And God used it to transform your life? Someone just almost a word in passing. You never even gave away that it kind of poked you a bit. And they'll never know. But boy, did it make a difference for you. I had some of those. I was challenged on, you know, show me in the Bible where such and such. Okay, I'll show you. You know what it did? It brought me into this book. And I couldn't find it. And God used it. Don't despise the day of small things. So here's the vision. Here's the vision that's described in Zechariah 4. There's a lampstand, there's a base, and there's a bowl on top of the base. And then there's seven shoots that come out, and on top of each shoot, of each pipe, there is a lamp. And on the left and on the right, there's an olive tree. That's the vision. And Zechariah asked this angel, and he said, what are those things? Quote it exactly. What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand at his left? And the angel says, don't you know? How many of you know? You know, the angel gave the answer. How many of you know? It's interesting, in Christianity, there's still all kinds of views on what these two olive trees were. And it's also in the end of the chapter. Don't you know? No, my Lord, he says. So he answered and said to me, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, this has to do with the call to get back to the building of the temple with all kinds of resistance. And he says, the angel says, go tell Zerubbabel it's not by might. And go tell him it's not by power. But go tell them that it's by my spirit. Let me put it this way. It's not by might at all. It's not by power at all. But it's only and always by my spirit. Amen. The world exercises the other two, and sometimes the church does too. Intimidation. We get stuff done through intimidation. We will threaten you. You support that, you'll lose your job. If you go over there, we'll make sure they know about you. And they don't care whether it's truth or lies. They'll blackmail. What about the power of money? You get bought off. Even the church is guilty of that one. Someone has a fat wallet and they give royally and now they want favors. And they get bought over. Not by might, nor by power. These are powerful tools. And they work. But it's not God's way. How about force? We can force the issue. We can make it happen. Remember what I said? You got to watch your heart. If you've been to Coutts, it's really neat to see thousands of people. And in one sense, they could use force. Those few police vehicles wouldn't stand a chance. Not by force. Fleshly persuasion. Human strength. You ever try that one? Right? You pull up your bootstraps and you go. God says, that's not my way. By my spirit, says the Lord. More than 22 months ago was a first report of how bad COVID was. Was this something, you know, we first heard in December of 2019. Yes, I'm going to go there this morning, okay? I'm just what we already know. December of 2019, the first reports, there was some COVID in China. And there was this rumor and that rumor. Most of it had been shown to be bunk. It hit us in March of 2020. Churches were told to shut down. No, none of us knew what was going on. And so we take all the precautions. And then things begin to not make sense so much. Now, personally, you could say, Bill, this is after the fact. Well, it is. But I also stated it earlier on. I believe this had the stench of hell on it from its inception. And it's the reason we at Free Grace, and I thank God for my elders. There's three elders here besides me. We were united right from the out of the gate. I am so grateful for that. And so the decisions we made, the plans we took, the steps we took. And it's the primary reason why we as elders responded to the restrictions the way we have. Now, there may be some here or some watching, I don't know, who may disagree with me, and I can accept that. But we believe we were moved by the Spirit of the Lord to do what we did. Now, I know that, you know, when you got the vision in the body of Christ, both can't be right. God is saying this to this church and something else to that church, or those within this church. One this, one, we understand that. But we were compelled where we felt, where we believed, where we sensed God was speaking to us. And so because we saw the international attempt to do what it was, it helped us make sense out of the local situation. And yes, we got some opposition, but thank God it was very, very little. We are grateful, continue to be, for the peacefulness by which we've been able to operate. And those who disagreed have not made it difficult for us. God's grace is amazing. We've had favor with God and man. We have. I just found out recently, apparently AHS knew all along what we were doing, but then they left us alone. That's God's grace. No neighbor called us in. To my knowledge, no police call one. No call went to the police. God's grace. And then we had God's grace in April of this past, of 2021. That 85% of us got the COVID within a couple days. For those of us who are here. We got herd immunity within like... And we met online for 2 weeks and we went again. I'm not poking fun at these people. This is amazing. Not by might. Nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we know there's divisions in many families. many workplaces, in churches, and we're grateful for our experience here. And so as a result, overall, local churches have been unable to be who and what they're called to be. Now, the restrictions in Canada, in our land of freedom, have been more severe than in many other countries of the world. But in January 1 of this year, one of the men, and this isn't just this one, it's one example, Steve Holmstrom from Drayton Valley, and he did this last year, he called for a 21-day fast for 2021. From January 1 to January 21. This year he felt to add a day, 22 days for 2022. And so thousands across Canada fasted for our nation. January 21, or January 1 to January 22. And on January 22, a convoy in Vancouver got released. And at that convoy, the first five speakers gave a kingdom message. The leader, the organizer, who's not a believer, they asked if he could pray for him. He says, I'm not religious. He said, neither are we. They laid hands on him. They prayed for him. They gave a short message on the shofar. Then they blew the shofar for the war cry. I get goosebumps as I tell you this. And I don't know how you pick this up in the spirit. When I heard of this convoy, in my spirit I get a witness. This is God. And as they picked up momentum across the nation, the world begins to watch and they listen. And a convoy comes from the east and a convoy comes from the south. And there's convoys all over the globe happening. And America has one planned for March 1 to go from California to Washington, D.C. People, they need prayer. They have a more active Antifa movement than we do. And this convoy has been bathed in prayer, praise God. And you read the reports of Ottawa. You know, Cam shared of one from his cousins. You know, you've seen, if you've opened your eyes to the media at all, there's a flag that is less than ideal. It's not the Canadian flag. The second word is Trudeau. Okay, so if you've seen the flag, there's a guy had one of those flags. He was taken to the Ottawa rally. And he walked into an atmosphere of peace, of love, of joy, of hope. And he rolled up his flag and he said, this flag has no place here. Amen. The oneness, the peacefulness, the love, the hope that is tangibly present is usually only experienced where God's people gather. This is happening in the streets of Ottawa. It happened in Vancouver at the launching point. Brothers and sisters, only God can do something like that. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. He impresses a man to organize this who probably has no clue. He's following the unction of the Holy Spirit. Have we seen this before? Yeah. America has an election, and it says, that can't be God's man. Listen to his mouth, look at his past. But he was God's man to put America back on its feet. And right now, there's an interruption. It's an interruption. Will it turn? Amen. In Coots as well, you know, there were reports of violence, but they're lies. Respective policemen honoring all they come in contact with, they try and share food. Ottawa again, they clean the city, they polish the Terry Fox Memorial. No deaths, no violence. No, I don't know what this weekend is doing. You know, there's all history in the making. There's been some attempts. So can I ask us to continue to pray and pray and pray and pray. Not in fear, not in anxiety, but in hope, in expectation, in blessing. You see, if the church waffles about what this is about, if this convo is not from God, how do you pray? So if you're struggling with, you know, how can God be in this? Take it up with Him. And hear what He has to say. He'll speak to you. So there's only one explanation. It's the Spirit of God. Moved upon someone in Western Canada who's not a Christian, and you likely wouldn't have known it was God. Now here's another little detail. 25 years ago, there was an individual in a prayer meeting in London, England. I think I got the details right here. And there was a vision. And what he saw was a burst of fire come up. And as he zoned in, and as he zoned in, and as he zoned in, the burst of fire was Vancouver, BC. And he was at that convoy release on January 22nd. And he released this word. He says, I believe that the vision God gave to that brother, I think it was a male, in London, England, 25 years ago, is happening today. You see, Zerubbabel started the foundation of the temple, 16, 17 year interruption. Zechariah comes along and says, no, you laid the foundation and you're going to lay the capstone. And then he says the mercy and power of God is too small for Jerusalem. And that took hundreds of years. We're not there yet. But do not despise the day of small things. So let me apply this. How are you responding? Do you see this as a move of God? You've got to hear in the Spirit. You can get persuaded one way or the other, right? But what you see, what you hear, you need to hear in the Spirit. Take you back to the text, the word of the Lord came to me. You've got to hear in the Spirit. And continue to pray. And then respond in the Spirit to what you hear and see. And that's different for all of us, likely. What's your call? What's your position? What's your influence? How do you respond? Secondly, what's God's plan? What help to know, right? God, what are you doing? So I can line up behind you. Well, the good news is He wants you involved, and it's the bad news too. He'll never do anything apart from His people. But when His people don't do it, He'll make a donkey speak. And if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. He is going to accomplish what He's going to accomplish, but He prefers to do it through those who are moved by the Spirit of God and who are in relationship with Him. You see, Canada, Canadians, we want our freedom back. But God says it's got to go further than that. Because they can have their freedoms back, but as Cam so excellently stated, we have our freedom in Christ. You can restrict the outward, but we still have a freedom to worship Him like no one who doesn't know Christ knows. You know what I see? You know what I see in Canada? Sheep without a shepherd. And boy, is the harvest field ripe. When you have a young individual that said, you know, I felt like ending my life, but now I got hope. And that's not only outside the church, though it is outside the church. We have a nation who needs to know that Jesus lives and that He gives life to whoever will come to Him. And He gives a hope and a peace and a joy and forgiveness like no one could ever dream or imagine outside of Him. And you're it. And you don't get to pass the buck. You don't get to pass it on. You know, and tag, you're it, so you're free. No. You're it. You stay it. But you got a message of life. And to the extent that the life of Christ bubbles in you and bubbles out of you, well, that extent, will the sheep have some kind of shepherding going on? Now, those with mixed opinions on what's going on, they're not ready. And those who are overly cautious, they're definitely not ready. You know, in one sense, history's being replayed here. Second World War was the underground, it was the uprisings. And there were those who dared to speak out. Some of them paid for it with their life. Bonhoeffer, right? A godly voice. Oh, I know Romans 13, and I'm not despising Romans 13. But I love to discuss Romans 13 with anyone who says, what about Romans 13? Let's open up the passage, let's discuss it. And see what God has to say about Romans 13 and those who are governing authorities over us who are called to provide an environment for the gospel to go forth. And if they don't, then what? And it's in the passage. We're not rebelling against governing or those who God has put over us. The government has broken the law. Our charter of rights is being violated all the time. By my spirit, I know we're at the bottom of the hour, we're almost done. By my spirit does not mean we're inactive. Okay? Hear this clearly. Okay, not by might, nor by power, by my spirit. So might and power, we got to go do things. By my spirit, you do things too. The charge was given to Zerubbabel, go build a temple, but do it by my spirit. Outwardly, it can look the same, but when you got the force of God behind you, I know what intimidation can do. I know what fear does. I know what blackmailing does. I know what buying with power does, but it is nothing compared to when the Spirit of God is on it. That might have power, and that might have influence, that might get things done, but when the Spirit of God moves upon something, the chaos of the world becomes into order, Genesis 1. And when the Spirit of God moves upon a person, they move from darkness to light like this. No human can duplicate that. So we need to hear clearly, what's the Spirit saying to the church? Because resistance is a given. We don't know how long the current thing will go on, but resistance is a given. The enemy doesn't give up territory easily or quickly. And if he has his way, he'll take back what he's got. But if the Spirit of God is blowing on this thing, on what's going on, it cannot fail. But it could stop for a season. Let's not let that happen. The temple got rebuilt. It was years later. Part of our role is to be active where we see the moving of the Spirit. At the end of the chapter, Zechariah asked the question again, and what are these two trees? And he's told the olive trees were two anointed ones. And I know, sometimes you can get a lot done with might and power. But it's nothing compared to what can take place when the Spirit of God moves upon a person. If he can move upon a person who's not a believer and a convoy starts and the world notices and the oneness, the resonating of it, can only be God. So I close with this question. It goes beyond today. It's the rest of your life. What is your part in God's plan? Susan asked this morning, is there a prime minister here? Is there a premier here? Is there a head of medicine here? Is there someone who can make change in the education system? You see, the Canadians want the freedom back. God wants Canada redeemed. Jesus died for the nations because they're his inheritance. What do you want for your grandkids? How about the ones not born yet? Oh, Jesus will come back before that. Oh, yeah? Are you sure? Are you sure? What do you have faith for? What's your part in God's plan? It will determine how you pray, how you see things, how you will do things, how you'll plan for things. If nothing else, from here this morning, you get nothing else, I would say this: have hope. Hope in a God who only redeems. He can bring beauty out of ashes, life out of death, light out of darkness, joy out of hopelessness. And he invites us along. Neil, my time's up. You're up to close the service.
Wow, so well said. I already forgot what I was going to say, so I was thinking about the grandkids. And there's many of us here that think about grandkids and the nation and what that means. And it's a new day. Amen. It's a day of hope. And it's an exciting day when you see the Spirit of God move. And I think you asked one question. I was going to say, you're starting to preach like Jesus. You're asking questions, and then you answer your questions with more questions. So I'm thankful for the Spirit of God, who is our teacher, who will give us the answers, each one individually. Because if Bill had to answer all your questions, we'd have to put him on full time. Anyway, Larry asked if he could say a word. So here's Larry.
This kind of ties right in with what Pastor was talking about. But when this convoy started, I was reading in Exodus chapter 8, and it talked about Aaron and Moses being instructed by the Lord to go to Pharaoh. And the instructions that the Lord gave them was to let my people go. Let my people go. And that's what Julie and I have been declaring and decreeing every day, several times a day. We want freedom back. Let my people go. And I wish that all of you would join in, maybe once or twice a day, just say, in Jesus' name, let my people go. That we would have freedom that our forefathers died for. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand together. For those of you that don't know how to get involved in this movement, pray. We need a lot of prayer for this nation. I think Bill shared the prayer that Suzanne prayed last week with everybody. That's such a powerful prayer for you to use to pray every day over this nation. Another thing is refresh other people. The verse of the day today, I don't think that's by coincidence either. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Refresh others, and you'll be refreshed. Give hope, and you'll have hope. Right? So as we stand together in this, let's pray. Father, we look to you. We thank you. We thank you that you are on the move. And it's not by power nor by might, but it's by the Spirit of God. And we are so thankful that we are alive today and that we can move with you. And as the Spirit of God moves across this nation, Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. And give us the wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon and the spirit of the fear of the Lord over us as your church. And over those involved that have feet on the ground, Lord, we pray for your protection, for your peace, and for your joy, Lord. This nation is filled with hope, and the joy of the Lord is springing up everywhere, Lord, that the music and the joy and the worship would come and continue over this nation from coast to coast. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. If anybody needs prayer or wants prayer, feel free to come up. And have a great, great week.